Luke chapter 12, if you wouldn't mind, as we dive into God's Word together today. In case you're wondering, they live in Colorado, this ugly place called Vail. So, they live there. If you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand and they will be glad to give you a Bible. But today we are back into going through Luke and the Gospel of Luke. If you'll remember, it's been a while, but if you'll remember, we talked about the fact that Jesus here in the Gospel of Luke came to a point and he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And so we'll see that revisited as we look at this section here. And as he's going up to Jerusalem, he's taking time to prepare his disciples. See, as you guys know, he knows that he's going to be crucified on the cross. He knows that he'll be placed in a grave. He knows that he'll rise from the dead to the living, but he'll know that also that he wants to encourage his disciples to stand strong because there's going to be trials and tribulations and that he knows that he'll return again, but there's going to be a long time in between that as far as earthly years are concerned. So here in Luke chapter 12, we're going to see four things that he's going to teach. He's going to teach about the parable of the rich fool, and we'll look at that. The genuine believer, what does that look like? The parable of the faithful and unfaithful steward, and three misconceptions that mankind has, and he's going to address those. So we're going to be going through a lot of scripture here, but looking at it and allowing him to instruct us by the power of his Holy Spirit that we would be aware of these things. You know, I was thinking about this. I wrote this down, why do we do what we do? We concentrate on the Word of God because we believe that it'll make a difference in our lives. Many of you know, but I just want to bring it to those that may not. This fellowship started with five people in our living room, in our apartment. And it was just a privilege there. It was just very simple, just five people wanting to get in the Word of God. And we said, yeah, we can do that. We'll be glad to do that. So we just fellowshipped on Wednesday evenings, teaching I don't even remember what book that was at that point. Might have been Proverbs. You guys weren't there at that point, your next group. So we kept doing that. And then they said to us, we'd like you to teach us on Sunday. What we'll do is we'll feed you breakfast on Sunday morning. You feed us the Word. So I looked at him. I said, we're not starting the church, okay? You guys need to know that. We're not starting the church. So we did that on Wednesday night and Sunday mornings. And then one day, that's when Jim and Claudia, there was a knock on the door, and there was about 20 people, I guess somewhere around there, maybe a little less, that were there. And they wanted to know if they could come to the Bible study that was going on. And I said, well, sure. I was surprised. I knew some of them and all. And then in our living room, it just kind of grew to, it went to the clubhouse, and then to the clubhouse, just teaching the Word of God. Then Colonial Hills Baptist Church, we looked at their old building. They built a new building, and the building right by the cemetery there, that's where we went for 3 years, just teaching the Word of God. Nothing fancy, just teaching. That's how we were raised in San Diego. Just Mike McIntosh would get up, and on a Sunday evening, we'd probably do about 10 chapters going through the Old Testament. Sunday morning, we would have specific teaching like we have here, but Wednesday nights was going through the Old Testament. That's how we were trained, just getting into the Word, word by word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, New Testament by New Testament, Old Testament by Old Testament, just being in the Word of God. It's important that we do that. The reason we do that is found in 2 Timothy, and I'll just read that. It's found in many other places, but chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we know that Scripture is God-inspired. What we're going to do today, just simply teach the Word of God simply. Just go through. And I believe that it will be inspired by God Himself, by the Holy Spirit. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's teaching. Doctrine is very important. How many believe that Jesus is God? The reason we believe that is because of the Bible. And that's a form of teaching. It's a form of doctrine. How many believe that Jesus is coming back someday? Soon, we hope. Okay. Yeah, that would be great. The reason we believe that, because it's the Word of God. It's a doctrine. So here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. We need to be involved in doctrine so we don't go to the left and we don't go to the right. We stay on that straight and narrow path. It's also profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the Word of God will do that in our lives. The Word of God, used by the Holy Spirit, will be used to reprove us if we need to be reproved, or if we need to be corrected, or instructed in righteousness, that the man of God, and might I say the woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so that's why we do what we do here in Luke. We're just going to go through these stories here because we pray that the Holy Spirit will inspire the words that are spoken, the scriptures that we look at, to our hearts, will instruct us today in things that we believe that are important for each and every one of us. So it's a privilege being in the Word of God. So let's go to verse 13 of chapter 12, where we see the parable of the rich fool, which speaks of man, the man of wealth, and what he should fear. The man of wealth and what he should fear. I believe that it's okay if we have a nice house. I believe it's fine if we have a nice car. I believe that it's okay as long as it's not before the Lord. And that's what we see Jesus teaching here. Verse 13 of chapter 12. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So what we can gain from this, it would appear possibly the reason why this person is coming to Jesus is because he's not getting what he wanted. And so there's potential that in his heart was covetousness. He wanted something that wasn't given to him. And so Jesus doesn't go to the issue. He goes to the issue of the heart. He says, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Jesus didn't come for that. And he goes on in verse 15, and he said to them, "Take heed." In other words, be careful and beware of covetousness. Now, I looked up covetousness. What does it mean to be covetous? It means to have an inordinate desire to obtain and possess, an inordinate desire. It's not wrong to have things, like I mentioned, as long as we have the proper perspective. It also means having or showing a strong desire for especially material possessions. Usually that's where a person can get covetous, very simple. Again, it doesn't mean that we can't have the things of life, but we have to make sure what the priority for those things are in our life. Covetous implies inordinate desire, often for another's possessions, another's position it could be, and another's power. And so it's important that we look at those things and realize it's not just possessions, but a person's position. We can covet that. I want that position and I didn't get it. And we can covet that, or the power that a person has in that way. So Jesus says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Now look at that very closely. For one's life, our existence, what we stand for, why we're here, does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Again, not that we can't possess, but the abundance, and we'll see this, the holding on of things is the dangerous thing that he's talking about. Now what he begins, watching beginning in verse 16 through verse 19, we're going to see six eyes. It gives you a picture of what's going on here. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful." So there was good crops. God blessed it. He was a rich man. That was nothing wrong with that. It yielded plentiful, so that was a good thing. But then verse 17, and he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops?" What should I do? I've got all these crops. What should I do? Well, one might say, spread it out. Give it away. If you got all these crops and everything, just give it away to other people in need. Verse 18, he says, so he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Notice where he goes wrong here. The eye of his life, the covetousness that is there, it becomes beyond what would be expected, what would be normal. And he says, and I say to my soul, so he's speaking to himself, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. No, Jesus is going to address that. But God said, verse 20, to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And so again, not a teaching that you can't have things, but the motivation of why you have them, what's going on with your heart because you have them, and would you hold on to them? Go with me to Proverbs chapter 11 here, please, just for a moment. Proverbs chapter 11. I love this example that is given to us in Proverbs chapter 11, beginning in verse 24. He says, there is one who scatters, in other words, he's benevolent, yet increases more. As he gives away, then he increases more. And there's one who withholds, he's not benevolent, he's stingy, then is right. But it leads to poverty. Notice verse 25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. So back to Luke chapter 12 there, a great principle for us to go by. Again, the Word of God, simple instruction of the Word of God that it teaches us today that it's important that we don't hold on in an inordinate way, that we give what God would have us pass on to other people. And he'll trust as he entrusts us with things, then we are faithful to that, then he can entrust us with greater things, more things to help people. Very, very important. So simple, simple teaching. But you have to watch out for the six eyes. Aggressively, this man was self-centered. The big mistake that he was self-indulgent and extravagant living. He entered into that, and he wanted to stay there. Then the next one, look at verse 22. We have this genuine believer, and very important for us to see. Beginning in verse 22, then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Anybody worrying at all about anything? Yeah, day by day we can worry about many, many things. Truly it's there. But he says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouses nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubic, one basically inch to your stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? What a promise. What a beautiful area of scripture there. Oh, you of little faith. So he encourages us, be people of faith. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. But look at verse 30. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. What a great promise. I've never seen the Lord not be faithful. I've seen times in my life I thought, well, I'd like this, but then turned out that that was for somebody else. It turned that, oh, I'd like to see this happen, but that didn't necessarily happen. And so I had to align what I wanted according to what he wanted, what he was doing. And that's all that's being said here. It's very important. He'll take care of every one of our needs. He may not take care of our wants. Where we get in trouble are our wants. We want this, and we become demanding. And he says, that won't work. It will not work. For all these things, verse 30 again, the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about our needs. He knows what is best for us. And that's what he'll bring into our lives as we yield to him. And then verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. You guys believe that? That's a promise in Scripture. Seek him first and his kingdom, and all these things shall be added to us. He is faithful. He loves us. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I look at that and I think, Lord, you are amazing. It's your pleasure to give your kingdom to us. Someday, how many believe that we're going to be with him in his kingdom and we'll be part of that? That's amazing. How do we know that? By the word of God, right? That's why we come. That's our purpose. That's why we started in a living room, five people there teaching the word of God. Then when the other people came, I remember sitting on the little mantle there, fire mantle, just sitting there, and I was just thinking, we were worshiping the Lord. Lord, what am I supposed to do with these 20 people? And it was just simply teach the word of God, simply. Just give them the word of God, and I will heal them. I will strengthen them. I will bless them, and I will use them. It's not complicated, is it? It's just real simple. And that's all Jesus is doing, teaching these simple things in a simple way. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell, verse 33, what you have, and give alms. In other words, those things that go beyond our needs, he may say, I want those things. I want those to be used, and I want you to sell those and give those to another person. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags, which you do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail. In other words, godly things. That's what we should desire. Where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. A key. I put in that key and three exclamation points after that. So a simple teaching there that we see. The genuine believer, what does he look like? He's not anxious for the necessities of this life. He's trusting. So he says, do not be anxious about food and clothing. God will provide that. Anybody notice that inflation has hit? I was reading the article yesterday in the paper. It said that the cost in some places, the cost for having Thanksgiving has just gone up 40%. And I thought, well, that's an expensive turkey. It used to be the least expensive thing. So things are changing. Are we trusting him? Are we anxious? All what Jesus is teaching there, and then we apply it to our life. Look at verse 35, please. We go into the next section here that he has. Real simple. Simply teaching the word. The parable of the faithful and unfaithful servant. A strong warning, be prepared. Be prepared. Let your waist be girded. In other words, be ready. And your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Obviously, ultimately, what's being taught here is the return of Jesus Christ. Are we looking forward to the return? Are we excited about that? Yeah. And so he's just teaching this simple truth here that if you have a master, in this situation on earth, you're to be ready, you're to do the right thing, but also look forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let your waist be girded, your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. So we are to be those that are watching, looking for the return. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve him. This week when I was going through this and thinking about this, again, I was reminded. Look at verse 37. It's an amazing verse. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, we'll find watching. Blessed are we that are waiting for the return of the Lord, because notice what it says, watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. There's coming a time, according to Scripture and other Scriptures that we see, that's going to be what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's where Jesus will receive his bride and where Jesus will serve you and I, the believers in Christ. I find that amazing. Don't you guys? It's amazing. That's what's being taught there. He says in verse 38, and if he should come in the second watch, are you ready, in other words? Or if he comes in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. If they're waiting for him. You know, we've been waiting for a while. I know I've been waiting for a while. He hasn't come back yet, but I believe that he can come back today. Amen? He can come back. And so, but know this, verse 39, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. So be prepared. It's important to do that. It's good to do that. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So I don't know when he's coming, but I expect him. I do. But he's coming in an hour that I don't know, is what Jesus is saying there. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give him that their portion of food in due season? Blessed, look at verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. So we're to be ready. Simple teaching again. Are we ready today? Are we in the Word daily? Are we praying? Are we serving people? Are we willing to set aside whatever God would have us set aside? In our life, two times we basically lost everything. One brought us to the Lord. The other one was when we came to Indiana, and he wanted to take the California out of us and prepare us for the people of Indiana. And that was hard, but it was two of the best times that we've ever had in our life. When we look back, it's not that good when you're going through, right? It's hard. We go through hard, difficult times. But as we trust him, that's what Jesus is saying. Trust me, and I will take you through. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, give thanks. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing that he's saying to each and every one of us there. And so, for where your treasure is, there is your heart will be also in that way. Then lastly, we look there at verse 35. Well, next to the last, we look at verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they will open to him immediately. And then I read that before, but Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Then verse 44, truly I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. And if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbeliever. So it's important to have a good attitude as we approach this. And then verse 47, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. So there is consequence even for us as Christians to be obedient. And then he goes on in verse 48, but he who did not know yet committed these things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. So again, diligence is important. The faithful servant, we will be rewarded, If a person isn't faithful, then there will be consequence to that. Then he closes it out here in verse 49. The last section here, the three gross misconceptions of man. We have to discern the times. Look at verse 49. I came to you. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled, showing his heart. The Messiah will, they believed that he was to bring peace on the earth, but he's bringing other than peace because of who he is. Notice in verse 50, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. So speaking of his death, do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. From now on, five in the house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And so Jesus came, and just because he would come and he would make a stand for righteousness, it would divide. There's division going on in America today, is there not? Difficult times in our families, are there not? Whatever side we take as far as the vaccination or not vaccination and all that, notice that it brings difficulties sometimes within the family. Thanksgiving, there's people on both sides of the issue that are having difficulty getting together with their families. So we can see easily how things in this world can divide families, but we have to be in the Word of God. We've got to trust the Lord in the midst of it here. The Messiah, they believed, would come to bring peace, but actually his life would bring challenges. Then, verse 54, we see there that they didn't realize who was standing before him. It says, then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather, and there it is. Hypocrites, actors, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? So simply he was saying, you don't know that the Messiah is standing right in front of you. They didn't see that, so they didn't discern the time. They weren't willing to be open to that, so there was a misconception there. And the last one, beginning in verse 57, men have a need to make peace with God. Yes, and why, even of yourselves, do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge. The judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, verse 39, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last price. And so men have no need to make peace with God is what they were teaching. And he says it's important that you do make peace with God. And so what did we look at? The rich run, the parable of the rich fool, the man of wealth, and what he should fear. He should do the right thing. The genuine believer, don't be anxious for anything. The parable of the faithful and unfaithful steward, a strong warning, be prepared. We are to be prepared. And then three misconceptions. Discern the times. Be aware of what's going on. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5 now. Paul addresses these issues, some of them here in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. See then that you walk carefully. That's what we're to walk. Carefully. Not as fools, but as wise. We're to have wisdom. How do we find wisdom? We're in the Word of God. Notice in verse 16, redeeming the time. There's only so much time that we have, so we have to be wise with the time that we have because the days are evil. There's a lot of evil in each and every day. We have to be careful. Therefore, verse 17, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We seek Him. How do we find His will? We find it in the Word of God. Do not be drunk with wine in which is excess. We shouldn't do that, nor should we, well, we shouldn't do that, but be filled with the Spirit of God, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Amen? Just simple teaching, teaching the simple truths of God. Let's stand and let's pray, please. Lord, we thank you for the words of Jesus and how they minister to us. And just simply going through these five issues, we're instructed today how to live our lives. And so we thank you for your word. We thank you for the ability to come and just worship you and to praise you. And we trust you today in every single area, Lord. Help us not to ever, though it's hard to be, help us not to be anxious, to trust you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.